How are we doing, okay? Great. Who's got some high scores in the games over here?
I do.
Yep. Only played it once and beat all you guys, so you can challenge me later. And it wasn't Pac-Man. I can't play Pac-Man. Tonight I'm going to talk about the call. I want to talk about the call God has over your life, and but I want to talk about a different call first. If you're now at the age of at least 7 or 8, you have a mobile phone. I remember when I was a kid, I didn't get my first phone until I was like 15 years old. And I was like, yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Yeah. You don't have one yet. Well done. Congratulations. I was 15. I didn't have one. I remember getting my first phone, and all it did was literally, it was like a green screen with black little writing on it, and all I could do was send messages to friends that didn't have phones, and yes? But as much as we may struggle to believe this, and even for myself, I don't do it as much, the mobile phone was primarily made to make phone calls. I mean, I know now we use them for everything else other than phone calls, but they were primarily made to make phone calls. And for me, some of my favorite things that happened in life has happened over phone calls. Some of the most awkward moments in my life have happened over phone calls. When I was working in a business, I answered a phone call and I thought it was a friend. And so I was just talking and I was just being a bit rude but a bit funny, and I was just like, oh yeah, whatever you reckon, because I thought they were just being stupid. It was like one of my mates. And about 5 minutes into the phone call, I realized it was a customer who was wanting to spend thousands of dollars. And I've been there going, oh yeah, whatever you reckon, stop being stupid. Why are you talking like this? And the guy's like, why are you talking to me like this? And I've no joke, after about 5 minutes, I realized what the call was really about. And I had to cover my tracks and work my way back and apologize. I love the phone calls when your phone breaks up in reception halfway through, and you do what every good person does and just say yes. You know, it's like, oh, can you? Yes, I can. You know, oh, I've really got to tell you, this is so important. Okay, yeah, okay. And you're just like, oh, I have no idea what I've just said yes to or what I've committed myself to. Or when you think it's your wife and it's actually your mum. That can be a very awkward conversation. How are you going, baby? Yeah, good, thanks, son. How are you? Or my personal favorite phone call I've received is the one that comes up with no number. And I answer it with no idea who it is, but they know who I am. They go, oh, Tim, how are you going? And I'm like, good. And no joke, I had one conversation with a guy for nearly 10 minutes where I had no idea who I am talking to or what I'm talking about, but I faked it the whole way through to right at the end of the message. And he made a comment about his location and it finally clicked who I was actually talking to. But I just faked my way through the whole conversation, pretending like I knew who it was. Oh, Tim, it's been so good to see you. I'm like, yeah, it's been amazing seeing you. It's been so good catching. Oh, so good to see you the other week. I'm like, it was really good, wasn't it? And oh, I can't believe what happened over here. And I'm like, yeah, I can't believe it either. I literally cannot believe what you're saying right now. And this conversation would go on and on. And right at the end, I'm like, Doug, how are you? And he's like, yeah, I'm good. We've been talking for 10 minutes. But see, calls are one of these things that can be quite awkward. It's one of these things that can leave us a little embarrassed sometimes when we say certain things and do certain things. And I'm not here to talk about the type of calls we get on a phone, but the call God puts over our life, the things He's calling us into. I think sometimes as Christians, we forget the fact that not only are we saved to go to heaven, but we're called to make an impact while we're on this earth. I think sometimes we look so much at the heaven for one day, we forget God's called us to live in today. And I wonder whether us as young people understand that we have a call over our life. That Jesus is calling out to us. See, sometimes, And where I want to go tonight is sometimes we focus so much on the positions, the titles, the one days of what God's going to do. We look at the fact that when we're old enough, then God's going to start to use us. We look at, oh, when we're in a position of leadership, then God is going to use us. But I've actually found the call of God is an immediate response. I don't believe the call of God is activated in years and years' time. I believe the call of God is activated the minute He calls you to do that. I don't think there should be a waiting call or waiting time when God calls us. I love the story, and tonight we're going to talk of the story of David and the call over his life. And we're going to look at four principles in his calling for us to apply as individuals. Let's paint a picture here. There's a guy named Samuel, he's a prophet, and he's going to anoint the next king. And let me clear this up. He wasn't going to appoint the next king, he was going to anoint the next king. And God had said to him, hey, Saul, I'm done with him. He's screwed up too many times. He's not listening to me. He's not leading my people. I'm taking his anointing away, and I want to give it to someone else. So Samuel, can you go? I'm going to go give it to someone else. And so Samuel's a little bit worried because the king's a bit of one of those, if you've ever seen the movie Alice in Wonderland, and how the queen's a little bit crazy. I have no idea which one. They're all the same. The cartoon one where they chops off the head. Yep. And she goes, off with his head all the time. That's a little bit like Saul. Because Saul was this crazy guy who was very insecure, very nervous about himself, always gone off doing his own thing, a bit of a rebel. And so God said, hey, I can't use this guy as king anymore. And so he takes the anointing and he says to Samuel, I want to give it to somebody else. See, I love that God didn't take away Saul's appointing or his kingship. He took away his anointing or his call from God. And what we've sometimes failed to understand is we focus so far on the appointing that God will give one day, and we've lost track of the anointing which God gives any day. See, for David, and we go on and I'll tell you the story in a minute, he is anointed to be king, but it was another 13 years before he was going to be appointed as king. And what we fail to see sometimes as Christians is we can function in our anointing before we enter our appointing. See, the anointing that God put over David was to lead and look after the people of Israel. And if you read your Bible in the next chapter after his anointing, who does he face but a guy called Goliath? And if Goliath had won, all the people would have perished. And so what happened was David started to function in his anointing. And he said, wait a minute. Hey, you can't take down the people of God. And so he steps up in his anointing. Now, he wasn't king yet. He didn't have a position. He didn't have a title. Nobody knew who he was. He was a nobody in everyone else's eyes. But in God's eyes, he had an anointing to live out as king over the people. And so what happened was he started to function way before his time. God started to release something in him. And of course, as we all know in the famous story, slingshot comes out, head goes down, it comes off, everyone wins. But what I find so interesting is in Christians, we are so fixated on what our title might be one day. Oh, I'm going to be a pastor one day. I'm going to be a worship leader one day. I'm going to be in this one day or that one day. And I'm saying God wants to use you today. He wants to actually release the anointing of God over your life today. And in that anointing, you'll find your appointing become real. See, you know, if you're anointed to be a leader, like myself, it's irrelevant what position or title I have. I will lead wherever I go because I'm walking in the anointing God has for me. It doesn't matter if I'm 10, 20, 30, 50, 100. The anointing of God will work in my life because it's His work in me, not my work. And so tonight I'm here to talk about the anointing and the call of God over your life. And I want to release something into this meeting over you that you start to walk in the anointing has for you far before you ever get any appointing. Before you're ever recognized as a leader in church or before anyone else ever sees it on you, God has already seen it and He's chosen and He is calling you out to step up into new things. So let's read the story just quickly about David's anointing. It says this in 1 Samuel 16, 6 to 7, and I'll read verses 11 to 13. Actually, I'll read it in my Bible, and we'll go through the section. It only takes a couple of minutes. 1 Samuel 16, and we will go from, which verse do I like? Let's go from verse 5. It's looking good tonight. So basically, Samuel's arrived, and they've asked him, do you come in peace? He's gone to visit Jesse where David's father is. And Samuel replied, yes, in peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come and sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eli and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands before me. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. When Jesse called Abinadab, these are really hard names and you can search them yourself, and he had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said to the Lord, he has not chosen this one either. And it goes on to list all the sons. And so he asked Jesse, are these all the sons that you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered. He is tending the sheep. Let me stop you for a second here. Samuel asked Jesse to bring his sons to the sacrifice. And at this moment, not even his own dad thought he would be one worthy to go to that place, because he was looking after the sheep, busy just doing his own thing. And I want you to get this tonight. It's okay if no one else has seen it. It's okay if no one else has said it. God, I'm telling you tonight, God is calling you to do great things. And you're just going to be doing your thing, and God's going to call you out like he's not. So even the reason you came to camp, you're not sure. And why you're even here tonight, you don't know. But I'm here to say it's because God is calling you out, even though you don't know it. And he says, they're still the youngest tending the sheep. And Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent for him and he had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Hear me. From this day forward, the power of God came upon him. The power of God didn't come when he wore a crown on his head. It came from the moment he was anointed. The power of God came the minute he was anointed. So we're going to look through these four things quickly to receiving the anointing or the call of God over our life. Who's ready? Josh is ready. You're pumped? Very good. First thing you need to understand, it is not as you see it. You will never answer the call of God over your life based on what you see. Because what we see and what God sees is two very different things. So you got to understand, the first brother was tall, good looking, perfect. And the reason why Samuel liked him was because that's what Saul had before. See, Saul was head and shoulder above everyone else. He was extremely good looking. He had all the characteristics he thought God would choose as a king. That's what God chose last time. And so Samuel looks at it being a prophet, a man of God, and says, ha, we know the one that's going to be. But I've understood something, that in the call of God, it is not the way that we see it. It is not what we think it is. I love that how he refers to this and he says, Samuel, listen up. People look at it at the physical stature. Because the Lord does not see the outward appearance, but he sees the heart. He sees the heart. Yet, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up in church, when I went to youth group, I only worried about what everyone saw on the outside. I wondered whether I looked right compared to every other Christian. I wanted to make sure I looked like everyone else my own age. I was spiritual enough as everyone else, that I had the appearance I could pray the right prayers, I could quote the right scriptures, I could look the right dress, I could do the right things. And I was so concerned about my outside appearance. And I read this scripture and it says so clearly, God doesn't give a stuff what I look like. He doesn't care how good my prayers are on the outside. He doesn't mind for a second whether I know all the Bible or none of the Bible. The only thing God cares about is my heart. That's it. And yet I was running around as a teenager, trying so hard to make the outside look perfect, to make God happy. And God was saying to me the whole time, even though I didn't see it, Tim, I just care what's on the inside. I just care about your heart. So you got to understand, David later on is quoted as a man after God's own heart. He understood there was something about the internal that mattered so much more. See, the more he knew of God, the greater he was able to function with God. And he knew the heart of God. And I think that's why when he was standing up against Goliath, he knew that the heart of God was for his people. And he knew that there was no way God was going to let this Goliath take down the Israelites. So I think when he thought about it, he didn't care whether or not he was bigger or smaller, because he knew that God would not let this fail. So I think in David's mind, he said, I think it's irrelevant who fights this giant. I don't think it matters who goes up there. I'll be the small guy. I'll go and do it myself. It doesn't matter who you send out there, because when God goes before you, the enemy will fall. There is no way God is going to let this giant win. And he realized, because he had the heart of God, not the outward appearance. Yeah, he wasn't the strong one like everyone else. Yeah, he didn't have it all on the surface. But inside, he knew what his God wanted to do. And I think sometimes for us, as we start to walk in the anointing of God, we got to understand God doesn't see the things that we see. He sees the heart. I want you to get this tonight. The one thing I want you to understand from this point is we look at people's actions. God looks at people's attitudes. I want you to get this tonight. We look at people's actions. We look at what people do. God looks at why people do it. We look at how much somebody puts in a donation towards a charity. God looks at why do they put that donation in towards a charity. See, God, we look at how well their profile is in the world. How many people follow them on Instagram? How many people know who they are? How famous? God looks at how influential and how much they actually care about people. See, we always look at the actions and God always looks at the attitudes. That's why when there's a story later on in the New Testament, talks about a woman with two little coins, and Jesus says she has given more than everyone else. Not because her action was greater, but because her attitude was better. Because she gave out of what she didn't have, they gave out of what they did have. See, God is not concerned about whether or not you're as good as everyone else. He just cares whether you give your best and do what God's asking you to do with the right attitude. So when it comes to worship, he doesn't mind if you're not shouting and screaming like everyone else, but you sincerely want to encounter him when you walk into the presence of God. He doesn't mind whether your prayers are a little bit off and you stumble and you make mistakes. He just cares that you believe your prayer actually makes a difference. He doesn't mind whether you're sitting in church and you don't understand everything that's being preached. He just wants to know that you actually are leaning in and going, I just need you to speak to me today, Lord. He doesn't mind whether you can't read your Bible because you don't understand the words. He just cares that you're opening it up and saying, hey, please speak to me tonight. Please speak to me today. Please put something over me. He doesn't mind whether you're not the best evangelist. He just cares that you actually care about the person in your class. I want you to understand, it's not what you see. It's your heart. It doesn't matter if you aren't qualified or don't have it together. Or don't have it all sorted out right now. That don't have the perfect family life. Don't have the finances. Don't have the education. What matters is that God sees you. And he wants to use you. The second thing you got to understand when it comes to the anointing of God, it is not when you expect it. It is not when you expect it. I remember being in class in school, and I'm sure you've all had this either now or for some of us older gentlemen and women here many years ago, when you would get the old pop quiz, the old random test that the teacher would rock up and go, hey, we're going to just do a random assignment or test right here, right now. And I don't know about you, but I hated these things. I mean, it was good because I had an excuse why I didn't study for that one, because I didn't have time to. All the other ones, I had no excuse. But the fact was, there was nothing worse than something sneaking up and going, oh, by the way, test time. Or assignment was due and you didn't know about it and you walked into class and it's just like you were a target ready to be hit. And the teacher's like, where's your assignment? And you're like, oh, no. I told you yesterday. I'm sure you did. I wasn't listening. And so all of a sudden, because you weren't expecting it, you freak out. And with God, this happens all the time. Because he doesn't do it when we expect it. See, I love that when God chose David, he was in a field looking after sheep. He was out there just looking after some animals. While all his brothers were living the high life, going off making sacrifices. David was not sitting in that field going, I wonder if I'm going to be anointed king today. I mean, there was no chance. The king was still there. There was no reason to anoint a king while we still had a king. There was no need to anoint David. And certainly, why David over all the other brothers? Why would Samuel come here to anoint me? He wasn't even looking, thinking, expecting it at all. See, what happens is God comes in when we least expect it. I could imagine David looking after his little sheep, doing whatever shepherds do, walk around with a staff, I think is what I've seen in my stories, and catching bad wolves when they come in and try to steal the sheep. That's what I think shepherds do. And all of a sudden, his dad comes over and says, David, quickly, come over here, my son. And so David goes, all right, Dad, no problems. And so he walks over, and all of a sudden, this guy named Samuel, was a famous guy in the prophet terms. They knew who this guy was. And you can imagine, and you can be my David, could you come up here, please? And so he's just walking up, he smells a little bit like sheep, but that's okay. And all of a sudden, it doesn't say Samuel said anything. He just walks up, grabs a horn, and just goes, bam! And oil is now just pouring all over David. And he's just going, what is going on right now? I just was looking after some sheep. And then there's oil over me, because it doesn't say Samuel said I'm anointing you. It says God told Samuel just to anoint him. And out of nowhere, from just looking after a few sheep, to that moment, probably maybe without even a word being said in that moment, he was now anointed to be king over all of Israel. The power of God now came upon him in that spot, in that moment, when he had least expected it, when everyone else had been chosen over him in the natural, he now was anointed king, and the Spirit of God of power had come upon him. Thank you. Well done. See, when we serve constantly, we allow our call to be shaped correctly. See, he was looking after the sheep, doing what he was told to do by his father. And I'm here to say the same thing for us tonight. As we just do what we're being asked to do, as we've been said, hey, just rock up to youth. Hey, just come to church. When the worship leader says, raise your hand, just raise your hand. When they say, can you help out, just help out. Why? Because as you're serving, God is preparing you for something you can't see right now. And he's starting to do something you don't understand. See, David thought he was looking after sheep. God knew he was preparing him to be king. But imagine if he said, I don't want to look after stupid sheep. Why don't I get to be up there like my brothers? Why don't I get that like everyone else? Why doesn't they notice me? You know, I'm always the forgotten one in the group. And so what happens is we miss out on our calling because we're waiting for something magical to happen. When I'm here to say, God will use whatever you put your hands to. Just make sure you're doing something. The only thing God can't use is someone that's stationary. I want you to understand this. He can't use you if you're stationary. He needs you to be moving forward, drawing closer to him. He doesn't mind if it's just one step, but you've got to be moving in direction towards him for him to respond to you. The Bible says it so clearly. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. He asks for a step of faith. He asks you to take steps forward. The third thing, and we're getting close to finishing, is the third thing, it's not from who you expect to hear it. One of the mistakes I see so many young people say is, I'll enter the call of God when God tells me. When God tells me. I know what's best for my life. I know what God's going to do with my life. When in the fact, I have personally experienced that everything God has ever done through me and in me is because somebody else has said it to me. Because someone else has prayed over me. Someone else has declared it to me. When I was 18 years old or 19 years old, when I first came to church, Pastor David Helliard, some of you guys know, when he said, Tim, you're called to full-time ministry. Tim, you are called to full-time. So I anoint you even now, and I started to journey towards that. I wasn't had any dream, aspirational thoughts of being in full-time ministry. I have never asked once to be in positions that I am today. Someone else has always come to me and said, Tim, it's time for you to step into this direction. It's time for you to take this position. It's time for you to move in that place. All of a sudden, it was because it never came from who I expected to hear it. I was just in a place, and all of a sudden, somebody said something. See, the Lord said, anoint him, for this is the one. And people will often say this line, if God has called me to something, surely he would tell me. And I would say, he is telling you, you're just not listening. He's chosen to use a leader to tell you about it, but you're too stubborn to understand it. You're living in a place of waiting. Oh, yeah, but I'm not good enough. You don't understand my situation. You don't understand my background. You don't understand my life. I'm saying it doesn't matter about your background, your past, and your life. I'm saying what matters is what God is calling you into. See, I want you to understand this. That was really good. Didn't even see you. That's great. One of the greatest things that you can do is to let those who have been chosen and called recognize and see the calling over your life and help you position it for it. See, I think for David, he thanked God for Samuel. That he was listening to what God was saying. And when your pastors or your leaders come up to you, young person, and say, hey, I see something over your life. God wants to do something with you. Will you step into this? I want you just to say yes. There is a policy I've applied to my life and it's got me to where I am today. I say yes to everything. Have you ever seen that movie, Yes Man? You probably don't want to watch it. It's funny in the principle that basically he has to say yes to everything anyone says. So anybody says it, he has to say, so will you snort wasabi? Yes. Will you go bungee jumping? Yes. Will you drink Red Bull till 6 a.m.? Yes. Will you go for a jog? Yes. And the principle of this movie was all about the fact that there is balance in it. But when it comes to our Christian life and spiritual leaders, I found when you respond yes to what spiritual leaders are saying, despite the outcome, despite what you think, despite what you even believe, the answer will always take you in where you never knew you were able to go. See, in February this year, I will become the senior pastor of Rise Church, but I'm 30 years old. It's not because I'm that special, but it's because I've been able to respond quick enough to God. When someone has said yes, I've just gone with it. When my pastor said, hey, can you do this? I said yes. Can you take over the youth group? Yep, sure I can. Why not? I have no idea what I'm doing. I took over the youth group, grew it. He said, Tim, I want you to step out of the youth group. And I'm like, and you got to understand, for me, running the youth group was fun. I loved being a youth leader. He said, now you can't be a youth leader anymore. Now you're going to be the associate pastor. Yep, okay, no problems. And so I responded to that. Youth Alive director came up. I said no. My senior pastor said yes. So I said yes. I want you to understand me here. I didn't open any doors to get to where I am today. God has had to open every single one. And I'm so glad that when my leaders spoke, I was able to respond. I was able to trust them wholeheartedly. I have a principle, and if anyone wants to be a leader in their life, listen to this principle. Don't touch God's anointed. One of the things that God showed me with David was even when Saul was trying to kill him, he would not touch God's anointed. Even though he was anointed to be the next king, he wouldn't touch the king. that God had put in place first. He wanted God to sort that out. So he submitted fully to Saul every single step of the way. Whatever Saul said, whatever Saul did, he submitted and followed. And it didn't matter whether Saul was trying to kill him, didn't matter if Saul was trying to destroy him, didn't matter if Saul was annoying him, he just said yes and kept following what he said. And for me, that helped me out immensely becoming the person I am today. Allow those that God has chosen to position you for your future. And my final thought tonight, and this is the one that probably matters more above everything else in your call, it's not your ability that will keep you. It is not your ability that will keep you. This scripture tells us that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, and from that day forward, he acted powerfully. It said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, not the Spirit of David. It wasn't how good he was. It wasn't his talents or his abilities, but it was the Spirit of God that allowed him to do what God had called him to do. See, never forget who calls you, because the one that calls you is the one that will keep you. See, when I call myself into a position, I'm a pastor now, or I've got this position or this title, I have to keep myself in that position or that title. But when God calls me into a position or a place, or God puts an anointing over my life, he is the one that makes that stay in place. See, whether or not this camp goes good or bad isn't my problem. That's his problem. If he didn't want me to do this camp, then he shouldn't have put me here. It's as simple as that. I rest in the security of knowing that if he's called me, he's going to look after me. And he'll give me whatever I need to do whatever I need in whatever situation that comes my way. For David, you see the same thing. It was irrelevant whether he went straight back after that anointing, that great moment to looking straight back after the sheep. And we know he did. After this amazing moment, he didn't go to some massive job, some huge title. He went back to looking after the same sheep he was looking after before. In the same way, you come to this camp and there was things going on, you're probably going to return to the exact same situation. The only thing that will be different is the anointing of God over your life. He was still looking after the same sheep. When he moved into the giants, it didn't matter. And he was taking on Goliath. It didn't, because the same spirit was inside him. So if God was going to call him, then God was going to keep him. As he went against Saul and Saul started to persecute him, he knew that his God had called him. Therefore, his God was going to keep him. And even as he faced the enemies that surrounded Israel, no matter where he went, he knew his God was going to keep him. Every single step of the way was unfolding his purpose and plans in God. Yet for us, sometimes in the Christian world, in the Christian young people cycle, we think it's all about the position. Imagine if David just stood there looking after sheep until he was called to be king. Imagine if he just finished with that anointing and this beautiful oil flowing over him and stood there on that ground until someone said he was king. Said, "Here is your crown, sir. You now can be a Christian and do the things God's called you to do." I'd just love to grab the band up now if that's okay. I want us to see this tonight. In this camp, God is probably not going to give you the whole plan start to finish. He's probably not going to tell you everything that's going to happen. He's not going to show you whether maybe you're going to be a pastor or a worship leader. It might not happen tonight. Because of your age, it may not be that you get to preach for years, even though God might call you to be a preacher. He might be calling you to be a business person, but it's illegal to start a business at your age. He might be asking you one day to change the way this city functions, but at the moment you ain't going to be able to do it because you haven't quite got all the appointing ready. But what he is saying to you tonight is he wants to release his anointing over your life. He wants to release his anointing over your life. I want to close because I think for some of us here, we've missed one thing. I'm going to flip to the New Testament now to a guy named Peter. And we see the exact same story happened with Peter. So Peter was this guy who hung out with Jesus. And he saw all the miracles, saw all the stuff happen, watched Jesus raise people from the dead, saw miracles happen that we couldn't even imagine. And yet inside himself, he was still weak. It tells a story of just before Jesus dying, that Peter denies Jesus 3 times. He was afraid. He was weak. He was worried about his own life. And for some of you young people, it's the same thing. You know, you've been at school and they've said, oh, what did you do on the weekend? And you said, nothing. Because you're a bit worried about what someone else would think. Someone asked you what you thought about your Christianity and you said, I just go because my parents make me go. And you just say things because you're afraid. And I'm here to say that's the same for all of us. Because what Peter didn't have at that stage was the Holy Spirit working through him. See, when David had the Spirit poured upon him, he was able to do amazing things. And we see the exact same story with Peter. In Acts, only a few pages later in our Bible, when the Holy Spirit comes, it talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and God pouring out His Spirit upon these guys. This same Peter who denied Jesus, running away crying because he was too afraid. They turn around and they make this statement in Acts 4 when they saw the courage of Peter. The same coward that denied him before he died. When they looked at Peter, they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled. They were ordinary men. They were astonished. And they took note because these men had been with Jesus. Tonight, what I want to do is I want you to respond to the call God has over your life. Not to a position or to a title, but to allow His Holy Spirit to come in and take you where you could never go on your own. The only reason I am here today is because I was able to receive something that I couldn't get on my own. When the Holy Spirit came into my life, it allowed me to speak with a boldness I don't actually have. It allowed me to say with a confidence that I can see the purposes and plans of God over your life. It allowed me to pray prayers over people's lives I wouldn't dare pray in the natural. It allowed me to stand up in front of whether it's 20, 30, 50, 1,000 young people, and I could say with 100% conviction that God has not forgotten about you. That He is calling you into something significant. And that significance will not be found in your gifts or your abilities, but in the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. And so tonight I'm not asking you to share about everything that's going to happen. I just want you to respond to the call and allow His anointing to be poured over your life. And so what we're going to do tonight, and as the guys sing for me in a second, I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to come to the front if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And tonight's going to be your night. And you might say to me, Tim, I don't know what it is. That's okay. You don't have to know what it is. It's simply an infilling and an overflowing of God's work through you to handle what He's asking you to do. Wherever you go, a boldness that you can't explain, a confidence you shouldn't have, the same as a Peter who denied Him, all of a sudden has courage that people notice. That's the Holy Spirit. And the second thing is maybe you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe tonight He wants to spark something afresh in you. You need a fresh touch of that Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter how many altar calls I've responded to, I always need another one. And so, why don't you stand with me tonight, right where you are. Now, I don't mind if you don't respond tonight. I'm not going to be offended. But I do believe if you respond, God is going to do something significant. Yeah. Remember, God's not looking at your actions. He's looking at your attitude. He's not looking whether or not you look good compared to everyone else. He's asking you, are you willing to do whatever it takes, to go wherever I call you? So as these guys start to sing, if that's you, I want you to come to the front and just sing along for a second, and then we're going to pray. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and do something supernatural.